Welcome to yet another episode of Channel 9 Going Native. My name is Steve Carroll. I'm the dev manager for Visual C++.
I'm Gabriel Dostres, developer on the C++ team.
And we're coming straight from the CPP conference here in Bellevue, Washington. We've been interviewing speakers and other folks all day. We're very excited about this conference. There's about 680 people, I think,
yep.
here today, something like that, all here to just talk about C++. Mm-hmm. So today we have a special short episode focused on CPPCon because we had a very special guest. Do you want to tell us about it, Gab?
Oh, yeah. So today we got Bjarne Straustrup.
Who?
Bjarne Straustrup.
Oh.
Yes. Sorry, the U is V. So Bjarne gave a historic keynote about modern C++, how you should write C++, good C++. The rules are, comes up with a set of guidelines, abstracts, and very concrete, at the same time, tool enforced. And the rules are very common sense, things that you should be doing, all along. But, when you go on the internet, you get weird stuff. Now, here you hear from Bjarne telling you why and how you should be writing your code, why it is good for you. And this is a cross-organization effort. It gets people from CERN, Morgan Stanley, of course, Bjarne, Microsoft, but we actually expect more folks to join. And the tools, we're going to get Microsoft tooling, but also Clang and hopefully GCC. So, without burning more cycles, I'll let you hear from Bjarne directly. Good morning, everybody. Here we are in Bellevue at CPPCon 2015. We have Bjarne who gave us a historic keynote this morning. Bjarne, what was it about?
Well, we're trying to address the question that a lot of people are trying to address, what is modern C++ and how do we write code better than we used to? And we have all of these old rules of thumb and old tool chains and such. But when you look at it today, we're much better off. I mean, C++ 11 is so much better than C++ 98, 14 is better than 11, and we're coming up on 17 soon. So how do we define a language that we can write in? And so we're trying to develop a set of coding guidelines, what you call the C++ core coding guidelines, that will define how you write modern code. How do you want your code to look like in 5-10 years? Not backwards looking, not C or C with classes or pseudo Java, but modern C++. What does it mean? And we want some we want a set of guidelines that guides people to write C++ as it will become and help people move towards that. And we want we want basically C++ on steroids as opposed to some neutered Java-like version. That we really want to maintain the zero overhead principle while reducing amount of code, while increasing the range of the code. And the way we do it is we have a set of rules that are based on a little library, tiny little library called the Guideline Support Library, the GSL, and static analysis to enhance the type system and allow us to have simpler code at runtime because we check it before we run. And that combination is really powerful. So we take C++, we add the guideline support library, we add some static checking from a fairly simple checker conceptually, so it'll run fast. And then we subset. After having supersetted, we subset and take away all the CRUD we don't need. And we get a simpler, faster, more general language. That's what we're up to. And so the idea is actually to get a lot of people, not just language specialists, but potentially the whole C++ community, 4-point-some million programmers, billions of lines of code, moved along over the next 2, 5, 10 years, but starting now. We're very, very impatient. We started this stuff in March or April, and we are starting to ship now. and we hope to be in business next month. But being in business doesn't mean how to make a pile of money. It means having the whole community use it. We use the MIT license. We want contributions from everybody, and we want to grow fast. And we really hope to make a difference so that with C++ plus the guidelines, we will be really enhancing people's productivity by eliminating whole classes of bugs. We are going to eliminate all resource leaks, all type violations, all dangling pointers, for starters.
And just in the morning, in the afternoon we'll...
That's right. And then in the afternoon we'll go after common sources of logic bugs, common sources of maintenance problems and such. So we're trying to be quite comprehensive, and the core guidelines can't be comprehensive enough. We expect lots of organizations, lots of communities to build their own extensions.
It's like fork what we're putting up there? Is that the right way to think about it? Or
I don't think it's a fork. It's an addition.
Got
probably
it.
Probably like the subset of superset, they will add some libraries at their field, and they may have to subset the core guidelines. I mean, you don't expect people writing sort of large-scale applications to work with the same rule as people that do flight control software.
Yes.
I mean, you don't want to write under the strictest rules all the time. And so you would expect the graphics guys have something, the financial guys to have something, the computational guys to have something. But we're focusing now at the core.
I see. And the stuff that's broadly fun.
Expect people to extend and subtract again. And it comes with a philosophy. We have high-level rules that give sort of the philosophy, the conceptual framework, and we have the low-level rules that we can actually simply, easily check. And the idea is nobody understands all of those rules and want to know all of those rules, but the tool will dump you right into the document at the point when we're saying, this is the rule that you violated, this is the reason this rule is here, here's an example of why this is a good idea, and then sometimes something more.
Right.
So what do we expect from these checkers that check the rules? Ideally, what would you like to see?
I would like to see nothing. After a while, it just compiles, and you have gotten used to the rules, and you write code
and
just like you do today.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's quiet. And then you make a type error, and the compiler tells you what you did wrong. Mm-hmm. Similarly here, you write your code, and when you write some new code, you sort of get into the habit of obeying the guidelines, and when you fail, it'll drop you straight in at the rule you violated.
So you expect this to be either part of the development process before you're checking the code, or what?
Yes.
Before sending for review?
Yes, yes, and yes. What I expect is that to start out with, people will use the guideline support library to eliminate some of the more common bugs. Mm-hmm. Then they'll run the checker to eliminate more, and I would expect it to be part of the tool chain. That is, you run it basically before or after you run the compiler. And I keep getting the question, I mean, shouldn't be part of the compiler? And the answer is yes and no. I don't really want it to be part of the compiler because I don't want to wait till all of my compilers have been updated. I want to be able to run this checker on top of an antique Microsoft or an antique GCC compiler. I mean, just because people can't update their code to a new model doesn't mean you can't get the new benefits. And secondly, some of the rules aren't suitable for compilers. Some are, but compilers shouldn't have false positives. And compilers shouldn't reject legal code. That's a tool problem. But some of them will be integrated. There'll probably be, I hope to see a switch, say the guideline switch on, say, GCC or Clang or Microsoft, and it'll just be part of the compilation. But for now, and probably close to forever, there should be external tools that does the things that a compiler can't do well. Maybe somebody invents tools or check rules that we can't do now because they're a bit philosophical, The simple ones you can check, the low-level ones you can check, but the more general ones, maybe there's a rule that takes whole program analysis, which we definitely can't enforce,
yes.
And we shouldn't try, but a tool provided by somebody could do that. And we do hope that there'll be lots of tools. I talk about tools, not tool. It is not a tool, it's not a compiler. It is a set of tools provided by the community, some open source, some commercial and such. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
So if somebody wants to get started with the new guidelines and the support library, how should they go about that?
Let's see. Today, you can go to GitHub and find the tools. And today, you can go to GitHub and find the first implementation of the support library. So I would read a little bit of the tools. Don't read everything.
The guideline.
Yes, don't read everything. And start seeing if you can fit the GSL into your tools. You can do it today and use it to catch dereferencing null pointers, to catch range errors. I mean, doing that is a little bit of checking. You probably already do it today, but in principle, it has a cost associated. But you can try it. That cleans up your code. You can start defining your templates with comments that specify which concepts you're using. And when we get concepts, or if you use the GCC implementation of concepts today, you can get it checked. Until then, it's comments.
Got it.
And so you can start today. Then next month, there should be something from my friends at Microsoft. And the month after, we hope that there'll be something available with Clang and GCC. It's
great.
Written in ISO C++, so it should work on other platforms, Linux, Macs, and such.
Great.
It's definitely not going to be narrow. It's definitely not, if this is, no one company, no one individual can do this. This is a big, big deal.
It's for the community.
But we're after something that is a massive improvement in the C++ community. Probably the biggest thing since C++ 11 and probably bigger.
Great.
But we rely on C++ 11. Without it, we couldn't do it. And we're going to 14, that'll be even better, and I have high hope for 17.
So we usually hear about modern C++. What would you characterize as modern C++, especially for the new commerce programmers who are getting job, daytime job, used to write C++, and they hear modern C++. So is there another C++ they should be looking at?
No. The problem is, the problem we're trying to address is very simple, that people are writing C or C-like stuff. They're writing C with classes. They're writing Java-style thing as they thought it was cool in the late 80s. And they think they're writing good C++. So we started out with the question, what is good C++? What is modern C++? What should our code look like in 5 to 10 years? What should it look like now? And people try all kinds of weird things also. The people are not stuck in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, write code that they think would be right for now, but they're isolated, they're not helped. They try all the new features, they get lost in language complexities. I mean, look at the ISO document. It's probably good for compiler writers, but it's certainly unfit for ordinary people. And it's not written for ordinary people.
No.
There's far too many rules, far too much backwards compatibility. So we have to somehow say, out there in the future is a good place and we should go there. And so let's start. Where do we start? Get rid of all the type errors, get rid of all the resource leaks, get rid of all the range errors, get rid of all the dangling pointers. That's a good start. And then we'll go from there.
Okay, great. So we'll put a link to the keynote talk where you can get more details on this in the description for this. And we'll put links to the ISO CPP coding guidelines and the guideline support library, and people can jump right in.
And there will, of course, be talks more about this. Herb Sutter has been part of this, and he has a talk
Neil McIntosh has two talks. He works on the standard
static analysis
tool and the GS, the guidelines library. And Gabby has some talks about what he's been doing in the standards committee, because we are trying to work very closely with the direction we have in the standards committee. So we want modules. I want my compilations to run fast.
So
thank you. and I want isolation from all of those nasty macros, and I'm going to get it. Well, one of the rules is don't use macros.
I fully support it for
configuration. Yes. Yeah, you probably have to, but that's about it. We're going after known problems, known bugs, and macros are high on the list of that. And then you have a talk. What is the other contract?
We're
using contracts in the guidelines.
In the guideline.
Yeah.
So thank you a lot, Yanni, for leading this event. I know it is historic. I can't wait to see this propagate to the rest of the world.
Neither can I.
All right. So that's our episode for this month. We, like last year at CPPCon, all of the talks are being recorded, and we are actually interviewing many of the speakers. So next month's episode will be an omnibus of those speaker interviews, which would give you some information about those talks so you can decide which ones you want to watch. That should be coming out later in October. And in the meantime, you can go and watch all the CPPCon 2014 videos that you missed out from last year.
And we will be looking for your feedback. Thanks.